It's so powerful when we pray and when we agree. So I just want to challenge you to not only pray in church, but to go outside. If you don't know what to do, you just pray. You say, hey, friend, I'm struggling with this thing. Can I pray with you? Or if you see that somebody's going through a difficult time, you can just go and say, hey, I pray for you. Or maybe, can I pray for you now? It's a simple thing that God has gifted the church with, and it's called prayer. Who of you have been here, was here on Tuesday with the Halloween praise and worship and prayer thing? It just blew my mind that 80 people would come out, between 50 and 80, I don't know how many, came out and just worship God and pray so that God's name will be glorified in the evening that was actually supposed to celebrate darkness. And it was amazing. The presence of God was in this house. I felt God's pleasure towards us as a church who is praying for His kingdom come, praying for His advancement in our lives, and praying for the light to shine bright in darkness. So sometimes we need a new seminar, or we need a new podcast, or a new revelation, or new prophetic word. But sometimes you just go, God, I don't know what to do, but I know that I can pray. And you grab someone and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, we stand in faith for this specific thing. Amen. Great. So we're talking about generosity. There's a scripture in Matthew 10 verse 8. It says, "Freely you have received, freely now give." And it speaks in the context of heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. So Jesus is sending out his disciples and he's saying these things, and he says, "Freely you have received, now freely you give." Now, if we talk about generosity, is this idea that we can give something? And there's not a spelling error in there. It's this idea that we as a church want to raise up this city by being a generous church. We as Christians, we have received so much we can give, and that this city will be built up. In Proverbs 11, verse 11, it says, through the blessing of the upright, just read it through with me, through the blessing of the upright, say it again, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. It's this idea of generosity. We as Christians, we have received something, and because we have received something, we can give it away. If you want to bless somebody, you bless somebody, whether it's with a word, whether it's with maybe a financial contribution, but you have this thing that you give to somebody. So we're saying we want to be generous. We're talking about generosity. But some of you are sitting here and you're like, man, Armel, I can see you have something to give. You have a pretty family, an amazing friend like Luke, and I just loved by him, and there's so much that you have. I can see that you can give something, but I don't know what to give. I don't have something. So I want to answer this question tonight. What do you have? What do you have? What is the thing that God has given you that you can bless the city, you can bless your friends, you can bless your family with, so that the city will be exalted? And I love what Arnu van Niekerk shared last week. He said, the problems in South Africa, and he's an economist, it's not an economical problem. And he knows that we are in big trouble in terms of our economical wealth. He knows that we are in big trouble. But he says, it's not an economical problem. It's not even a moral problem. It is a spiritual problem. And that is the arena of the church. That is the arena of a born-again believer. So we, as the church, we're like, man, they are playing on our home turf. We actually have the ability to change something. And I feel it has something to do with what we have and what we want to give. We want to give this blessing. The Church of Jesus Christ have influence in South Africa. It is a truth, maybe not seen with the eyes, but it is a truth in the spirit. Because it's a spiritual problem that we have in South Africa. So there's a spiritual answer in the spiritual body of Christ. So we have something, but what do you have? What do you have? And that's this question for tonight. So I was reading up on, whoever you know, about Bitcoin. I think in 2011, there was a guy who bought two pizzas with 10,000 Bitcoin. Two pizzas. Bitcoin yesterday, 10,000 Bitcoin yesterday was worth $72 million. That guy didn't know what he had. He didn't know that the price is going to explode, is going to exponentially grow to a place where he would be a multimillionaire if he could just keep his craving intact for pizza. And I think we have that problem. We have that problem of we don't know what we have. Do you guys know an artist called Rodriguez? So he had a cult following in South Africa, but he didn't even know that he was famous in South Africa. Until 1997, his daughter stumbled upon a website from somebody in South Africa, and this lady was just sharing about how amazing Rodriguez was and what kind of cult following Rodriguez has in South Africa. He didn't know what he had. He didn't know it. So, what do you have? What are the things in your life that you are so familiar with, you don't even know you have it? So let's read Matthew 13, verse 53 to 58. It's probably one of these saddest stories in the Bible, but there's such a good principle for us to learn. So Matthew 13, verse 53. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished, and they said, "Where did this man get his wisdom and these mighty works from? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." What a sad story. So it's Jesus rocking up at his hometown, and his own people, the people that he grew up with, are like, "Hey, we see these miracles, we see these mighty works, but it can't be that amazing because we know Jesus. He grew up with us. He kicked the ball around in our neighborhood. He was cycling with us. He is the guy that we knew from a very young age." And they just miss the Messiah, the King of the universe. And that's what I felt this just during worship. I'm like, we are worshiping the King, but some of us are just so out of it. We're just so far removed from the King, and we don't see that the King is right here with us. King Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who's standing behind you, tapping you on the shoulder, saying, "Go for it." That's the King that we serve. The King who took away all our sin. The King who reconciled us with the living God. He is in this room tonight. And some of us are missing it. And we have the same sin than that community had. And that's the sin of familiarity. Just being so familiar with what we have that we miss what we really have. So every now and then, where's my portrait? Okay, every now and then. So every now and then, I get so busy with ministry and I get so busy because I like church and I love working with a guy like Luke and I just love praying for people and I love preaching and I love all of this stuff. And then this is my family. I sort of move my family to the side over here, which is not a good thing, by the way. And they become this picture on my wall and at just on the background, in the background. And then somebody comes to me after a Sunday service or they see me walking in the mall and they're like, wow, you have an amazing family. And what happens? I become thankful for my family. And because of my gratitude, this picture moves right to the front, in front of my face. And I'm like, wow, look at this. Wow, look at those three kids, blonde. They're amazing. My wife's beautiful. Wow, they're amazing. And suddenly I realize what I have. But when they're here in the background, I don't realize what I have. I miss them. I get angry at them. I get frustrated when I need to change a nappy. Because it is not the nicest thing ever. And then suddenly I look at Amo and I'm sitting there and I'm smelling the poo. And he looks at me and he says, "Vase me, Papa." Because that's the thing. You can ask Rose. Rose works for us. He loves doing that. So his nappy is dirty, and I take away the nappy, and he says, "Vase my papa, show me." And then I have to show him his own poo, and then he laughs. And then I'm like, this is so cute. It stinks, but it's so cute. And then it moves right here in front of me again. And I become aware of what I have. Amazing family, amazing children. Luke, that's going to happen to you also. Oliver is going to go like, show me daddy. So, familiarity blinds you to what you have. Gratitude reveals what you have. Some of you are sitting here and you're just so familiar with your friends, you're so familiar with Jesus, you're so familiar even just with the Bible, or you're so familiar with your mother or your father that you don't realize what you have. So the one thing, the one key that I can give you tonight to understand what you have is just gratitude. Om dankbaar te wees vir dit wat jy het. So, these people in Jesus' village, Jesus doing all these miracles. So instead of just saying, "Hey, we knew you, but now you're different and you're doing all these miracles. We thank you for this. This is amazing. Thank you. We don't understand because you were just a carpenter's son, but hey, we thank you." Instead of gratitude, they become so familiar and they don't understand. They don't realize that they are offending their life source. They are offending the one who came to take away their sin. And I think even in this church, we're so familiar with the presence of God that we sometimes miss that we really have the presence of God in this church. We're so familiar with just our salvation that we forget what an important event it was when we got born again for the first time. There was a guy in the morning service. He walked up here and he said, "Amo would have gone to hell if it wasn't for Jesus." He pointed out and he said, "Amo would have gotten would have gone to hell, and then he stopped for a while, and then he said, if it wasn't for Jesus. So I was a little scared what he's going to say. But that is true. That is true for Armand, that is true for Jay, that's true for Rose, that is true for Ben Riku. Also, opgeëindig het in 'n baie warm plek ver van God af. If it wasn't for Jesus. But we are so familiar with salvation. But what, how different would it be if we go like, wake up in the morning, like, Jesus, I'm alive. Not only am I alive, I know you, God. I know you. I have more resources available than Bill Gates because I am connected with the King of Heaven in a relationship. How different would your day be? It wouldn't be like, man, this is going to be a terrible day. I have so much to do. I need to write exam and I didn't really study. It's terrible. And you miss what you have. So familiarity blinds you to what you have. Gratitude reveals what you have. So I constantly live in the, I like live in the future. I think of, yes man, 10 years down the line, I'm going to surf with Nicholas. It's going to be amazing. 10 years down the line, we're going to flood the city with worship and people that are on fire with God, and they're going to pray for people. People are going to be resurrected from the dead. Amen. And we're going to have amazing worship events, and people are going to fly out into George Airport, and they're going to just be touched by the presence of God, and we're going to send people as missionaries, and they're going to change the world. But I constantly live there because I'm thinking about this and I'm praying about this. And sometimes God just says, I'm going to get back to the little Armor lying there with his nappy. And understand what you have now. It's already amazing. Because else I get so frustrated with the nappy. But it's through gratitude that we eventually will end up here. But you can't just live there and not be here. See, if you want to be present, and some of you guys, you need to listen to this. Your wife's going to tell you, be present. Klim van die foon af. Where's your hat? Where's your head at? And you go like, in your mind, just go like, Jesus, I love my wife. Thank you for my wife. And then you come into the present. Where have you had that experience before? So your vrou sê vir jou, you're not present. And then you're like, God, I thank you for my wife. Thank you. And you just move into the, there's some music playing. That's funny. Yeah. Okay, so let's go to Ephesians 1 verse 3. So what do you have? You have everything that you are grateful for. What can you be grateful for? You decide. Go and write it down. You're like, I'm grateful for Armand in my life. I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for the presence of God. I'm grateful for salvation. I'm grateful for the finances that I've been blessed with. I'm grateful for the school that I'm in. I'm grateful for the mind that God has given you. Everything that you have, you can bless somebody else with. If you have a brilliant mind, you can bless somebody else with that mind. You understand that principle? If you have salvation, you can share your testimony with somebody. You can bless somebody. And back to that first scripture, Proverbs 11, verse 11, it says, by the blessing of the upright, the city will be exalted. So the more you understand what you have, the more you will give, and the more you'll give, the more at the end, the city will be exalted. And people are like, we need to fly to George, not because of the garden route, but because of the presence of God. That's eventually where we want to get to. So that is true, but some of you, you know that you have Jesus. You want to give Jesus, but you don't know all the perks that come with Jesus. There are benefits that come with Jesus. Go and read Psalm 103 also. There are benefits that come with Jesus. Who of you know vitality? Okay? People go into Vitality because then now they have they can have discounted movies, they can gym for almost free. They have all these perks. But being a Christian, there's so much more. But some of you never access those perks because you've never really gone into the private, into your just your room and say, God, let me understand what I have in Jesus Christ. Read this. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. With what? With every blessing in the heavenly places. Every blessing. Say that. Every blessing. Some of the blessings. No. Every blessing. Every blessing. It's amazing. Every blessing. So every blessing that is in heaven is available to you. But you need to go and find it yourself. You need to go like, Jesus, I'm so grateful for you. I know that you are in my life, but I know there's so much more. And yes, I'm grateful for what you've given me at this very moment, but I know there's so much more. What are the blessings that you have available for me? Because I want to bless my community. I want to bless my community. Every blessing. Every blessing. So don't come to me and say, I don't have something to give, Amor. I'm just going to go Ephesians 1 verse 3. Every blessing. Mark 11 verse 24. And it ties in with this scripture. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, the exercise that we just did before we started the sermon, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And I believe what Jesus is saying. He's saying, he's talking about gratitude. He's talking about thanksgiving. He's saying, so Jay Lee is, he's in the race at Otoniqua. He's trusting for that whole race to get saved. He has an amazing, he's walking in an amazing legacy with James Henry, was head boy. There's a new head boy appointed. So he's their son over there, James Henry's son, James. He was appointed head boy last year. And they started a thing there, and it's amazing what's happening in the res. So Jay Lee is there, and he's like praying with his friend Oliver, not Luke's son, but that Oliver. And he's like, God, we thank you for what you have done, but we also thank you for the revival that you're going to bring into Beteha, the res. And they're doing exactly this. They believe that they have already received it. And then at the last bit, it says, it will be yours. So some of you are trusting for a girlfriend. Now don't start with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Some of you are trusting for a breakthrough. Some of you have prayed for your family. So you can go into this gratitude thing and you can say, God, I thank you that your heart is to save my dad. And I thank you that my dad will be saved within this year. What are you doing? You, in faith, take the thing that you are believing for and you're thanking God for that very thing. So, gratitude reveals what you have so that we can go and bless people. Amen. Great. I'm going to ask Armand to come up. We're going to do some fun stuff. Do you know they say generosity is the most fun that you can have with money.